Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with Army veterans John Berry Sr. and Jr. and discuss them helping veterans with the VA. Then we'll meet Army veteran Ian Newell, who will discuss transition to civilian employment. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce two Army vets that I know and respect. John Berry Sr., Steve, is, like me, a Vietnam vet. He's also an attorney who started the law firm of Berry Law. Their purpose is to help vets who are having troubles getting their disability approved by the VA. His son, John Berry Jr., now runs the firm. So, welcome, Steve. Glad to have you on the show.
I'm delighted and honored to talk with you again. And let me begin by thanking you not only for your military service, but by your service in this show. And I'm going to start out by making a remark. John and I went to a Vietnam Veterans Memorial groundbreaking service here in Nebraska. And one of the speakers was Chuck Hagel. As you know, Chuck Hagel pulled his brother out of a burning tank. Chuck has a bullet in his chest that is very incrementally moving toward his heart and can't be operated on. He was a United States Senator and he was a Secretary of Defense. And he said, you know, my fellow Vietnam veterans, we weren't thanked for our service. And of course, when people do thank us, we say it was an honor to serve. But he said, think of the other people who serve. And he said, I want you sometime to thank a librarian. And I thought that was such an insightful thing to say. And you and I thank people for their service. And I thank you for this excellent work you do on the air. But there are so many people to whom we owe thanks, and we don't always think about that, do we?
No, we don't. And that's a really good point, Steve. And welcome to the show, John Jr. You're the guy who does all the work at the law firm now. Glad to have you aboard.
Thanks so much for having me, Denny, and great to talk to you again.
Steve, let's go back to you. Talk about your time in the Army, including your time in Vietnam.
All right. Well, I was commissioned infantry in 1960, and I went to Fort Benning. I drew the January assignment, a little cold, but no snakes. Anyway, I went from there to Fort Leonard Wood, and I pushed through. I went was in the reserves and the guard as I got rid of the engineer insignia, got artillery insignia, and was the infantry liaison officer for an artillery battalion. I had completed my military service, and I was by now a lawyer. And I was practicing law with my uncle, Wade Stevens, who was a pilot in World War I. And of course, as with my dad, on the back of his World War I victory medal, it said the war to end all wars. We thought it was, and yet here I am talking with a fellow Vietnam veteran and a son who's a veteran of Bosnia and Iraq, another son from Afghanistan. So it wasn't the war to end all wars. But anyway, I wanted to go on active duty. My obligation was completed. I was not in the military except peripherally, and I applied for active duty. And I applied for branch transfer to JAG. It became very important to me that the soldiers receive legal assistance. And so I applied for active duty, and Vietnam was accepted pending a physical. I failed the physical because of my blood pressure, but a friendly doctor wrote them a letter and said, no, it was just a bad test. The blood pressure is fine. So I got in. I went to the short course at JAG school and immediately went to Vietnam. My first day there, I was chief defense counsel for the largest general court-martial jurisdiction in Vietnam. That was three corps, two field force, had 80,000 soldiers. I was also the foreign claims officer. Because of my willingness to try cases, I was requested and voluntarily went with cases in the 1st Infantry Division, the 82nd Airborne, the 101st Airborne, the 5th Special Forces, the 11th ACR with Colonel George Patton Jr., quite a character, the 199th Light Infantry Brigade, and a number of other units. I was always volunteered. Although I was JAG, I was in all four corps. I voluntarily went to some places where I saw some, well, the kind of action that gave me my 70% disability for PTSD. I saw that kind of action in the Angel Wing of the Cambodian border, a click away from Ho Chi Minh Trail. So, yeah, I saw a lot of action, and it was just my passion to help soldiers in their legal requirements. I also spent some time with the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force outside of Da Nang. And it was a pretty widespread practice. Now, it was a 2-year observation corps, and they offered me an RA commission, which I did not accept, but because I had done what I wanted to do. But while I was at the Presidio, twice I was requested by soldiers. Twice my boss said, "You don't have to go." Twice I went over. So I've crossed the pond three times. That's why there's four little campaigns, those little stars they put on your campaign ribbon. And so, yeah, I have had a passion for getting legal assistance to our armed forces. So when I started my own law firm in Lincoln, Nebraska, you couldn't charge. It was a felony to charge to help veterans. I didn't care. I burned a lot of midnight oil, starting my own practice, supporting my family, providing for my family, and did an awful lot of free legal work for Vietnam veterans, not only in assisting them with claims, but if you're a Vietnam veteran and you've got a DUI and you can't pay for legal help, yeah, I'd go in and represent you. So,
John, I need to interrupt you. We've got 1 minute left. So okay. I need you to wrap.
My entire adult life has been dedicated to veterans. Okay, in conclusion, thank you all for your service. You asked me earlier to mention that on June 17th, Showtime will be airing the first segment of my book, The 12th Victim. And except for that, God bless you and God bless everyone who listens. And I'm so proud to have my son take over the practice. He's doing a magnificent job.
So you must have done a good job as a dad, too, then, if your son's doing a good job.
It was the greatest pleasure of my life.
I believe that. Well, there's more to discuss about Barry Law, and both the father and the son are going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to run, troops. Run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back. If you are suffering from anxiety, joint muscle aches, or trouble sleeping, try Day 3 Creation, a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products created from natural, organic, laboratory-tested ingredients. Day 3 comes from a servant's heart as God calls us to care for each other with compassion and honesty. 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing disabled vets with service dogs. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army veterans, father and son, John Barry, Steve Sr., and John Jr. about VA law and how they help vets. John, it's your turn. Give us a quick overview of your time on active duty.
Sure. So I went to College of William & Mary in Virginia. I was commissioned an infantry officer, went to Fort Benning, Airborne School, Ranger School. My first assignment was Fort Hood, 1st Cavalry Division. In 99, March of 99, we went to Bosnia. I came back, went to the National Training Center, and had an opportunity to go to law school. Now, the difference between me and my father was that when I went to law school, I stayed in the Guard, but did not branch transfer JAG. I stayed infantry as long as I could, and eventually they moved me into logistics. After practicing law for, well, I should say my third year in law school, I was given a company. So I was a company commander, and I'd been practicing for about 2 years. And I went to my battalion commander and said, you know, this has been great. I've had a great experience as a company commander. It'll help me build my law firm. But I think I'm done. I can't do both anymore. I'm working, you know, 70 hours a week, and I've got guard weekends. I just can't do it. And as a commander, you work more than just the weekends, as you know. Yep. And so he said, no, that's not going to be a problem because you guys are getting deployed. So in 2005, I deployed to Iraq. I was a company commander. We were in Al Asad, Iraq. We were the Army team on the Marine Air Base. It was an interesting place to be, but great experience. I came back, and shortly thereafter, they promoted me to major and made me the company commander in the officer candidate school. And then eventually, I became the battalion commander of the officer and warrant officer candidate school, and just absolutely loved it. Retired after a little over 20 years with combined active and guard service, and that's where I am today. And we've always represented veterans based on the work that my father did. We support and defend the Constitution one person at a time, but we absolutely love representing veterans. And the reason for that is because they deserve our help, right? At the end of the day, you know, a lot of people talk about entitlement and what the government owes them. By God, our veterans stepped up, and when they supported and defended the Constitution, we owe it to them to do the same thing and to fight for them to get them all the disability benefits that they earned. We don't do Social Security benefits. We only do VA disability, and we also do trial work. We, you know, we're in the courtroom arguing criminal cases or injury cases. We love to get in there and support and defend the Constitution as lawyers because, well, let's face it, warfighting is a young man's game, and we're not that young anymore. At Barry Law, we've got about 100 team members, 40 of which are veterans, and most of us are either Marine or Army. We actually have 19 Marines, and so a few Navy, few Air Force, but mostly Marines. But I love working with veterans. We get to hear the most amazing stories from our nation's heroes. And so the other thing that blows me away is I'll meet a client, someone who I served with in Bosnia, or someone who we were on the same mission in Iraq, you know, and it's amazing to hear the stories and to help people who have earned our respect, but more importantly, have earned these benefits and our government has failed them. And that's why we love to step up, hold the government accountable, and get our veterans the disability benefits that they have earned to help them, to help their families. And probably, you know, most importantly, I believe that our veterans are our greatest national resource. You look at what happened during COVID when everybody else went and hid. If you want to see the real stories of who stepped up, it was the veterans who stepped up and helped their communities, helped rebuild their communities. Look, we've been there before, right? We've had to get the shots, wear the PPE, right? Wear that protective equipment, although usually it was in MOP 4, right? Worry about chemical attacks. And so I think, you know, when we look at when our nation faces adversity, who's going to step forward? It's going to be the American veteran. And my hope is that we can get veterans the disability benefits they've earned, so that they can use it as a springboard to continue to serve our country. And I've had fellow service members who served in Iraq and Afghanistan come out, start amazing businesses. And a lot of them said, hey, if I didn't have those disability benefits to back me or my retirement to back me, I probably wouldn't have taken the risk. Or had I not had the leadership experience and the management experience that I learned in the military, I wouldn't be so successful leading my community or leading my company. So I think it is important that, you know, we've got leaders that are coming out of the military, their batteries included, right? Unlike their civilian counterparts, we have veterans who are coming out ready to lead, ready to take charge. And it's our hope that at Barry Law that we can provide that springboard. If their families need help, by God, let's get them the help that they need. Let's give them the help they earn. But most importantly, and I think obviously, we all know a lot of veterans who served during wartime who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And in my experience, talking with most of those veterans, it's losing the team. You know, you can go through hell when your team is there, but then you come back and where's the team, right? You come back and all of a sudden the team's been broken up. You're back at home. You know, there's no platoon sergeant, no first sergeant. Your peers aren't there. And there's this sense of, you know, kind of being lost and not having that support. But I think that as we, you know, the veteran community gets stronger, our brothers and sisters are all around us. We just got to reach out and we got to make sure that that happens more frequently than it has in the past. And I think that, you know, once we see the veteran communities coming together, we certainly see a positive change. Later this month, I'm going on the Irreverent Warriors hike down in New Braunfels, Texas. A good friend of mine, a former Special Forces soldier, runs Camp Cowboy right outside of Fort Hood, Texas, which helps soldiers with PTSD and other veterans disability issues, helps them recover and takes them to a nice ranch, start working as a cowboy. You know, it's kind of the great thing about the military is there's something great about working the hell out of you that really helps your disposition a little bit and kind of helps you see the world in a different way. But more importantly, when you do that as a team, you bond, you grow, and you have brothers and sisters that will stay with you when you go through that adversity together. So Camp Cowboy, great organization. Irreverent Warriors, another great organization, and looking forward to joining them later this month. But I mostly just want to say thank you to all of our team members at Barry Law and all of our brothers and sisters who served and continue to make our nation great. I have to tell you that I come to work every day happy. I get to meet America's heroes and I get to help them.
Thank you, John. That hits the nail on the head. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Barry Jr. about Barry Law. John, we got 1 minute left. What key points would you like our listeners to take from our talk today?
You know, if you're a veteran, you've got people to thank. And there's two ways to thank them. Number one is to reach out to them and thank them, but reach out and reconnect. Our veterans are a nation's most important asset. We have leaders that are underutilized. So I'd ask our veterans, if you feel like you're underutilized, you know, step up. Find your team members, build that team, and go out and build an amazing country. Because you have all the raw skills, all the raw tools. The Army's given them to you. You know how to use them. Go out, find that team, and execute.
And people can contact Barry Law by going to
PTSDlawyers.com, as in post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSDlawyers.com.
And Steve, how can people get a hold of your book? Tell us that again.
My Vietnam memoir is entitled Those Gallant Men, and it was Book of the Month Military Book Club, and it may or may not still be available on Amazon. There's some of them out there. It's out of print, but there's some of them out there. And The 12th Victim, in which we write about somebody who was wrongfully convicted, that is on Amazon. And once again, it's Showtime will be showing it starting June 17th, a four-hour documentary. So, you know, our oath that you and John and I took to defend the Constitution, we do it militarily, but John and I also do it in every other way. And our representation of people is really, our client is the Constitution. May I add one thing to John said about our staff?
Please do.
Yes, we have a lot of veterans, but there's something else. We have daughters and sons of veterans. We have wives of veterans. In other words, maybe we only have 40 veterans, but I think everyone at that firm has some kind of interaction, whether through a father or a husband or a brother, and everybody brags about it, not in a good way. And it was my honor to attend our Marine birthday party, ate a piece of the cake, and yes, I had a sip of the port in the toast. And to my embarrassment, I was one of the ones toasted. I think when you get this age, people will raise a glass to you. But yeah, so we have an Air Force waiting room, a Navy conference room, an Army conference room, a Marine conference room, and we've had a dining out, and we celebrate the military. And John runs the law firm like a very well-run military operation. Everybody knows their responsibility. Everybody knows the principle of leadership to seek and accept responsibility. And John has turned this thing into a very well-oiled machine with clients in 50 states, and I were on the Inc. magazine, Law 500, and that is entirely through John's effort and our work on behalf of veterans.
Thank you, Steve, for taking the time to join us today and for your book and your service to our nation. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for everything.
And thank you, John, for your service and how you're helping vets today and every day. I'm proud to call you friend and brother.
Thank you, Denny. Same to you. And just like you, the oath never expires. We took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and we do that today. And I appreciate you getting this voice out there to let our veterans know that they are still our nation's greatest treasure.
Amen, brother. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Army vet Ian Newell about moving to civilian employment. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Do 26 with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
My fellow patriots, in these troubling times, it is more important than ever for us to take care of our fellow Americans. That's what Patriot Food stands for, U.S.-only grown foods. When you make an online purchase, you are supporting a U.S. farmer and our great veterans every time. Don't mistake Patriot Foods for survival food. This is an American farmer brand. Visit patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. That's patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a pleasure to welcome Army veteran Ian Newell. One of the things Ian does is he helps people in the military transition from the military to civilian jobs. I think that's cool. So welcome to the show, Ian.
Hey, Denny. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell us about your time. Why? When did you join? What did you do? Talk to us about that.
So I come from a long line of military family, going all the way back to my great-great-great-grandfather. My dad served for 33 years. He's been my role model. Definitely wanted to follow in his boots. So I went to Virginia Tech, graduated in 2013, joined the Army as an infantry officer. I did infantry for 4 years to include locations such as Camp Casey, Korea, Fort Carson, Colorado. And then I transitioned over to the intelligence world. So worked for military intelligence for my remaining 4 years. I went to Arizona and Fort Hood, Texas, and I deployed to Iraq and Syria from there, serving with 3 Corps headquarters, 3rd Cavalry Regiment. And then I wrapped up my time at Fort Hood with 504th MI Brigade as a company commander before transitioning to the civilian sector.
So sounds like you did more than put in your minimum time. And so you understand Mother Army. Why did you get out? Talk to us about your thoughts about it and what you thought you'd do when you got out.
Yeah, you know, I truly enjoyed the Army for what it was. It was a great way to start life, but I started getting to a point where I felt I could do more. And unfortunately, my time of service and rank was kind of holding me back. So I sat and watched my father, who, as I said before, did 33 years, transitioned and started his own company and asked for his advice. And you know, he told me, he's like, hey, you've done your 8 years. If you do a couple more, yeah, you really suck at that hard line. Do you stay in or get out? He's like, right now at 8 years, you're the most marketable you're going to be until you're past your 20 years. And so, I took his advice and I started a journey called 1,000 Cups of Coffee. Now, definitely not something that I came up with, but it's something that's been tracked for probably the past 8 years now, where the whole concept is you have 1,000 different types of conversations with different people to help you in your journey of transition from any kind of transition period that you have.
I like the idea of seeking advice from people you know and trust and then getting out there and try it. And the 1,000 cups of coffee sounds interesting. I don't drink coffee, but I think I understand what you're talking about.
You know, it's like the whole concept is, yeah, getting a 5 to 10 minute conversation with somebody you don't normally talk to, you know, talk to a different stranger at each moment. I learned 10 lessons during my journey. It was definitely a long one. I've been almost out of the military for about a year now. But yeah, the 10 lessons I learned is that, number one, is you got to build your foundation around a life and a place you enjoy. You know, coming out of the military, I'm single. I don't have a family, but looking at my peers, you're uprooting your family. You're moving them around a lot. You're living in locations you don't want to be at. This is a time to take care of you and your family. And I recognize that once you enjoy your personal life, your work life is that much better. You know, number two, have thick skin. You know, I had a moment where I submitted a resume to a top tier software company, and I had a senior level VP come back to me and say, "Hey, man, I would never hire you. You're way too rigid. You sound way too military. I don't think you can adapt to the culture." Yeah, and it sucked to hear that, but I really appreciated the fact that he went through and walked through to understand why it sounded so rigid. So when I redid my resume, I got far better feedback from other companies. And number three, actively seek out learning opportunities. Can't stress it enough. You need to apply to some organizations that will help you through your transition process. I personally use the Commit Foundation, outstanding resource that you do a quick free application to, and they assign you to a life coach for 5 sessions and really help you dive into what's important to you. What are your values? What do you think you want to be when you grow up? You know, I went from the Army to the Space Force to joining an AI company, and I never thought that that would be my journey, but the Commit Foundation really opened up my aperture of what I could do. Number four, you know, assume risk. We worked in an environment where you assumed risk, and then more importantly, you mitigated that risk. You know, don't stop that while you're in the civilian sector. You know, try something that you never thought you would do, but you always wanted to. But, you know, pad yourself financially, pad yourself mentally, and pad yourself with the people surrounded you so that you mitigate the risks that you're taking.
You know, that makes real sense. And it sounds like you've got a schedule for this. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ian Newell. Keep going, Ian. I'd like to hear the rest of your checklist.
Yeah. So treat networking like it's your full-time job. You know, if you don't have LinkedIn, you got to get it. You know, I spent most of my time during the 1,000 Cups of Coffee journey cold calling people on LinkedIn. It is amazing the amount of people that will take the time to sit down and talk to you. I would say, to toss an arbitrary number out there, that 99% of responses came back were positive and said they would take at least 5 minutes to talk to me. So don't be scared to network and treat it like it's your full-time job. And moving on, don't bite off more than you can chew. You know, slow down and pace yourself. I thought when I got out, I had to get a job immediately, and I had to do everything all at once and get all these certifications. And I realized you're no longer in the military. So you don't have to do the whole hurry up and wait. You can spread it out, take your time, and truly appreciate the journey. And it also helps out with your stress.
You know, that makes real sense. What you're really saying is slow down, think about it, figure out what's right for you, get some counsel, and move on with confidence. Am I hearing you right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And with that confidence, and as you slow down, you really take the time to appreciate what's around you, and you are more that way. You know, for the remaining of the checklist, it really blends it all together. Is one culture. You know, when you go out, I turned down 10 job opportunities before I landed on BigBear.ai. And I'll tell you that I chose Big Bear due to the culture. You want to find an environment that's mission-focused, that fits kind of what you're doing in the military, but is not in a military structure. And you want to find what's passionate to you, right? So I joined Big Bear because of the mission set, you know, supporting the warfighter through AI applications and cyber applications. And you know, truly, if you go through the weeds of it, you want to find an organization that understands veterans. I got lucky. Big Bear actually has 30% veterans. Yeah, so you still had a sense of community, that sense of understanding. They supported my journey into the reserves. So can't stress it enough. Find an organization that has the culture that you're looking for. And the final three really brings together, one, treat every conversation like it's a potential interview. You know, you never know who's out there looking to hire somebody. They might not even have the job requisite out there, but they want to hire good talent. And the military brings... You have the capability, you've worked hard, you have the perseverance, you have a don't quit attitude. People want that in their companies. And if you walk in and you treat every conversation as if it's going to be an interview, whether it's over beer, whether it's over coffee, anything, be amazed what it comes out to. And then finally, Danny, focusing on the mental health. Can't stress it enough. You know, I transitioned and I like to think I'm a pretty strong guy. know, but there were some times where it was like, I had to take a breather. I walked into my closet and I saw that I didn't know what to wear for a networking event. You know, the Army told me what to wear every single morning. And then I get ready for this networking event. I had no clothes. And it really, it kind of shook me a little bit. And I had to sit there and go, okay, maybe I need to slow down my process, go seek out some advice, take a breather, calm down a little bit, and then re-engage, re-attack for the next event.
Your advice sounds good. I've been a hiring manager, and what you're saying makes sense. Is that it? Is that the sum of your recommendations, or encouragement of other people to do?
Yeah, that's my list. I will say that I do run a side service for free, and it's not a nonprofit. It's not anything formal, but I've helped 72 of my peers transition from the Army, Space Force, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force into the civilian sector, just following my glide path. So I would offer, Denny, that if anybody wants some advice, wants to sit down, have a 5-minute conversation, or kind of follow the same glide path that I took, I'm happy to offer that. My LinkedIn is Ian Newell, and then my email is newellian14@gmail.com. Happy to have any conversation.
That's awesome. And if you didn't get Ian's information, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, I know how to get him. Thank you, Ian, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for your desire to help fellow veterans make that transition. That's awesome.
This has been outstanding. Thanks for the time, Denny, and I look forward to future engagements.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really do welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send me your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Peter really enjoyed your newsletter that came out on April 1st. He appreciated the way you included religious holidays.
Thanks, Peter. We have a fairly new format for the newsletter, and we like to mention all important things, and our relationship to God falls into that category.
And Navy Mom Susan really appreciated the interview with the man from Israel. It's good to hear what's going on over there from someone who lives there.
Agree, Susan. Elliot Shodoff is a proud Israeli and a good friend of America and of mine. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
On 18 April 1775, British troops marched out of Boston to confiscate the American arsenal at Concord and to capture Patriot leaders Samuel Adams and John Hancock. As the British departed, Boston Patriots Paul Revere and William Dawes set out on horseback from the city to warn Adams and Hancock and rouse the Minutemen. The Boston Patriots had been preparing for a British military action for some time, and upon learning of the British plan, Revere and Dawes set off across the Massachusetts countryside. They took separate routes in case one of them was captured. As the two made their way, Patriots in Charlestown awaited for a signal from Boston informing them of the British troop movement. As previously agreed, one lantern would be hung in the steeple of Boston's Old North Church, the highest point in the city, if the British were marching out of the city by Boston Neck, and two lanterns would be hung if they were crossing the Charles River to Cambridge. Two lanterns were hung, and the armed Patriots set out for Lexington and Concord accordingly. Along the way, they roused hundreds of Minutemen who armed themselves and set out to oppose the British. They warned Adams and Hancock and then set out for Concord. Along the way, they were joined by Samuel Prescott, a young patriot. Early on the morning of April 19, a British patrol captured Revere and Dawes lost his horse. However, Prescott escaped and rode on to Concord to warn the patriots there. After being roughly questioned for an hour or two, Revere was released when the patrol heard Minutemen alarm guns being fired on their approach to Lexington. About 5 a.m. on April 19, 700 British troops under Major John Pitcairn arrived at the town to find a 77-man strong colonial militia under Captain John Parker waiting for them on Lexington's Common Green. Pitcairn ordered the outnumbered Patriots to disperse, and after a moment's hesitation, the Americans began to drift off the green. Suddenly, the shot heard around the world was fired from an undetermined gun, and a cloud of musket smoke soon covered the green. When the brief battle of Lexington ended, 8 Americans lay dead and 10 others were wounded. Only one British soldier was injured. The American Revolution had begun.
Indeed it had. And on 20 April 1861, Colonel Robert E. Lee resigned from the U.S. Army 2 days after he was offered command of the Union Army and 3 days after his native state, Virginia, seceded from the Union. Lee opposed secession, but he was a loyal son of Virginia. His official resignation was only one sentence, but he wrote a longer explanation to his friend and mentor, General Winfield Scott. Lee had fought under Scott during the Mexican War, and he revealed to his former commander the depth of his struggle. 2 days later, Lee was appointed a commander of Virginia's forces with the rank of major general. He spent the next few months raising troops in Virginia, and in July was sent to Western Virginia to advise Confederate commanders struggling to maintain control over the mountainous region. Lee did little to build his reputation there, as the Confederates experienced a series of setbacks, and he returned to Richmond when the Union gained control of the area. The next year, Lee assumed command of the Army of Northern Virginia after General Joseph Johnson was wounded in battle. Lee quickly turned the tables on Union General George McClellan, as he would several other commanders of the Army of the Potomac. His brilliance as a battlefield tactician earned him a place among the great military leaders of all time.
And on April 18, 1942, during World War II, 16 American B-25 bombers launched from the aircraft carrier USS Hornet, 650 miles east of Japan, and commanded by Lieutenant Colonel James Doolittle, attacked the Japanese mainland. The now famous Tokyo Raid did little real damage to Japan, but it did hurt the Japanese government's prestige. Believing the air raid had been launched from Midway Island, approval was given to Admiral Yamamoto's plans for an attack on Midway, which would also damage Japanese prestige. Doolittle was awarded the Medal of Honor.
That was an amazing operation. And on 18 April 1945, during World War II, journalist Ernie Pyle, America's most popular war correspondent, was killed by Japanese machine gun fire on the island of Ishima in the Pacific. Pyle, born in Dana, Indiana, first began writing a column for the Scripps Howard newspaper chain in 1935, eventually syndicated to some 200 newspapers. Pyle's column, which related the lives and hopes of typical citizens, captured America's affection. In 1942, after we entered World War II, Pyle went overseas as a war correspondent. He covered the North African campaign, the invasions of Sicily and Italy, and on June 7, 1944, went ashore at Normandy the day after Allied forces landed. Pyle always wrote about the experiences of enlisted men rather than the battles. The same year, he was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for distinguished correspondence, and in 1945 traveled to the Pacific to cover the war against Japan. And on 18 April 1945, Ernie Pyle was killed by enemy fire on the island of Ishima. After his death, President Harry Truman spoke about how Pyle, quote, told the story of the American fighting man as the American fighting man wanted it told, end quote. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a California homeowner recently gave an illegal immigrant burglar a major pummeling after returning to home to find two burglars rummaging through his home. Sal Mercado pulled into his driveway to find a car parked out in front and two burglars inside his home. And that's when his fight or flight instincts kicked in. The homeowner rushed inside, where he confronted one suspect and delivered a staggering blow before the suspect got up and fled the area. Quote, "He starts to go through the side of me to get out of the house, but I went bam with the right cross, and he went down on the grass in the front yard, picked himself up, and ran to the car." Mercado confronted the second suspect, who had his hands filled with jewelry and electronics. The homeowner then handed him, quote, "a major beatdown" before the deputies arrived on the scene. Arangiz, 43, of Chile, now faces charges of felony first-degree residential burglary and felony conspiracy. He is currently being held on a $150,000 bond.
Thanks, Colonel. Illegal immigration is out of control, especially at our southern border, and all indications are that it will get worse over the next 2 years. But what impact will this have in crime in America? Non-citizens constitute only about 7% of the U.S. population. Yet the latest data from the Justice Department's Bureau of Justice Statistics reveals that non-citizens accounted for 24% of all federal drug arrests, 25% of all federal property arrests, and 28% of all federal fraud arrests. People who come into America illegally are not vetted. Many times we don't even know they're here until they commit a crime. The two men in today's story turned out to be members of a South American crime gang who specialized in home burglaries. Until America gets control of her southern border, then crime will rise in America. In the meantime, here are some things you can do to help protect yourself against criminals. First, get some open-handed skills. You don't have to be Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan to fight off an attacker, but you do need some confidence and you need to know how to throw a decent punch. Criminals expect you to automatically comply or flee, so they're caught off guard when you attack. Martial arts are great for personal protection, but it doesn't have to be Oriental. The man in today's story used plain old-fashioned street fighting to ward off these criminals. Americans have gotten soft in the past two decades, but now we no longer have the luxury of turning the other cheek. The criminals we face now are more violent and meaner than ever. And second, we need to develop our warrior mindset. The hero in this story had it down perfect. He wasn't afraid of the criminals. He was angry at them for violating his home. He was quoted by news sources as saying, quote, "I went Mike Tyson on him," unquote. And that's exactly what you can do as well. Don't cower to criminals. Get some open-handed skills and a warrior mindset so you have what it takes to protect your family. Frontlines of Freedom salutes Sal Mercado of Oak Park, California. Good job, Sal, on protecting your home and teaching those thugs a valuable lesson.
Amen. Our movie of the month is The Paperboy. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired General Paul Mock will join us to discuss our nation's challenges. Next, retired Navy Captain Tom Burke will discuss where and when our nation should fight. And then Chino Bastia from Ten Can we'll discuss helping hurting vets and first responders. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase the book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom this Easter weekend. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.